Greetings, dear friends, in the Savior's precious and worthy name. Though it is our desire today to bring you the good news of salvation, the good news of how Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again that third day, it seems necessary that we start off by reminding you that God has never found anything in us in which He can delight. Now, that certainly doesn't sound like good news. But keep that in mind as we consider Romans 8 and 8, first of all, where it says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Or, those out of Christ cannot please God. God today is seeking those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. And friend, out of Christ, you cannot worship God. You cannot please God. The Bible, through and through, gives ample evidence of the total depravity of man. How that man is absolutely separated from a holy God because of his sin. In fact, the Bible records throughout history only two distinct types of people, and they are opposites in total. First of all, man in all of his shameful character of God-dishonoring behavior. Secondly, Christ in his peerless character of God-honoring behavior. And for that reason, man has always required a mediator, one who could go between God and man, one who could breach the gap between God's holiness and man's sinfulness. For Israel, God provided Aaron and his sons from the tribe of Levi. They had two primary functions. First, to offer sacrifices to God for their own sins, and then for the sins of the people, Hebrews chapter 7. And secondly, they were to bring offerings of worship for those that would worship God, those from Israel. For example, we read in 1 Kings at the dedication of the temple that they offered 20,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. We read from Hebrews 8, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. But not only was there the Levitical priesthood, but our God, as we mentioned in our previous broadcast, has also ordained for us a priest, a great high priest. And this one was and is unique, for he continueth ever. He has an unchangeable priesthood, and he's able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. For such an high priest became us. That is, he is perfectly adapted to our needs, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. We speak, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, who became sin for us. You know, Aaron offered the blood of others for his own sin, but Christ offered his own blood for the sins of others. Never has there been a priest like our Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise God today that he is at the Father's right hand. He's there as our great high priest, as our advocate, as our intercessor, as the one who maketh intercession for us. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Between that holy, eternal God and between sinful mankind like us. And we can rejoice today that we have a great high priest, God the Son, the glorified Christ, the priest who offered himself as the Lamb of God at Calvary's cross, so rebels and sinners, so wretches like ourselves, could be redeemed and cleansed by that atoning blood. Oh, can you say with me, in the words of the hymn writer, hallelujah, what a Savior. But we want to move on. We covered most of this in our last broadcast. And we want to move on to another type, to another classification, to another group of priests. Not only did God make Aaron and his sons priests, not only did he provide us with a great high priest in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus, but listen to what Peter declares in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then from verse 9, same chapter, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, or a kingdom of priests, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Pardon. We find two things in this passage, these passages we've read, chapters chapter 2, verses 5 and 9. First of all, we who are Christians, we who have experienced the new birth, we who have been born of God, born from above, we who have entered into the relationship that makes us the children of God by faith in God the Son, he says you are, first of all, a holy priesthood and then a royal priesthood. And what for? Well, he says we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, and that we should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Friend, by virtue of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by virtue of this personal, intimate relationship that each individual Christian has with God the Son, we are made priest of God. Are you a priest? The Bible says you are if you're a child of God. He has made his sons, his children, priest of God. First of all, he says we are holy priests. This has to do with our relationship to God. We come before him in worship. We come with hearts that are prepared and overflowing. My cup runneth over, the psalmist says. We come with hearts so full of love and adoration, hearts that are affixed upon him, and we offer him the overflow of a heart that is in love with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, friend, do you really know him to the extent that you can say, yes, by the grace of God, I'm in love with him? I'm in love with the Lord Jesus, the lover of my soul. David said, I cannot offer my God that which costeth me nothing. And friend, for you to be in such a state, such a spiritual condition, that you can worship him in the beauty of holiness, that you can worship him in spirit and in truth, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost time spent in the presence of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus, that one who became the Lamb of Calvary and the glorified man at the Father's right hand. We read that if we are to worship effectively, Matthew chapter 5, we are to stop and consider if our brother has aught against us. It doesn't say if you've got aught against your brother. But if there's a brother in Christ, and you know that he has something in his own heart or mind that's troubling him about you, your responsibility, leave your gift at the altar. It says, go be reconciled to your brother, then come back and worship him. In 1 Corinthians 11, we read, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. It doesn't say, examine yourself and stay away from the Lord's table. It doesn't say, look inwardly and see what a wretch you are, and then don't go into the Lord's presence and remember the Lord Jesus at the breaking of bread with the other believers. No, it says, examine yourself, purge yourself. In the language of 1 John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does it mean to confess your sin? It doesn't mean that you beg God to forgive you. He says if you'll confess it, he will forgive you. So it's simply a matter of saying, Lord, I lied. Lord, I cheated. Lord, I lost my temper. Lord, I gossiped. Lord, I neglected my Bible study. Lord, I didn't give you that portion of my income that I'd promised or I'd committed or I knew I should. Lord, I knew to do good and I did it not. He says, confess it. You don't have to say, Lord, please forgive me of all my sins. It's be specific with God. You confess your sin and then get alone with God, get with the Christians and worship him in the beauty of holiness, in spirit and in truth. In Hebrews, we read from the 13th chapter that we are to offer him the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Friend of mine, my God says that as a Christian, you're a priest. And as a priest, you ought to be worshiping him. But so many of us are like the father of John the Baptist. You remember when he went into the presence of the Lord? When he went into the temple? He came out, he could not speak. He was called a dumb priest. That doesn't have anything to do with his intelligence, but it has to do with his speech. He could not talk. And so many who are priests of God are dumb priests. They do not fulfill their priestly function of worshiping the eternal Lamb of God, the great high priest, our Lord Jesus, who deserves all of our worship. Somebody has said that Christians are like Arctic rivers. They're frozen at the mouth. In Deuteronomy 16, we read, I shall not appear before the Lord empty. And friend, our God is deserving of every consideration you can give him, of all the worship you can muster. And he is expecting it from your heart. from your life, from your lips. To sum it up, as priest of God, we can offer him our praise and our worship because he's looking for worshipers today. So many of us are like those 9 lepers who were healed. And you know, the 10th one, he returned and he worshiped the Lord Jesus. He fell at his feet, a cleansed leper, a new man. But so many are like the 9. They go their own way. And Peter says they forget that they were purged from their old sin. Is it any wonder the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper? And he says, as often as you do this, ye do it in remembrance of me. You do declare the Lord's death till he come. Friend of mine, he did this lest we forget. Lest we forget Gethsemane. Lest we forget thine agony. Lest we forget, Lord, thy love to me, lead me to Calvary. We worship him with an overflowing heart, with the fruit of our lips. We worship him with our substance. Now, let me tell you something, friend. He can get by without your money. He has managed to maintain his standard of living, so to speak, I say that very reverently, for thousands of years without your meager contribution. But let me tell you, he offers you the privilege of sharing in the great work of proclaiming to the world the gospel message of Christ who died that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And he says, you want to share it? Okay, it's your privilege. You give as unto the Lord. You give sacrificially. You give what he would have you to give. And friend of mine, it's the privilege of worship. I don't believe in pledges, and I don't believe in drives, and I don't believe in trying to twist people's arms to get them to give. I believe in getting their hearts right with God. And when the heart is in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus, when the heart's open before God and worship is being made, they'll worship him not only with their lips and their praise and their adoration and their love, but with their substance and also with their bodies. Even as our great high priest gave his body for us, we should in return give him our bodies. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 5 as well, we read that he has made us unto our God kings and priests. Friend, we are the kingdom of priests. We are a holy priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. I ask you, are you a functioning priesthood? Are you serving him as you ought? Are you giving him your glory and your honor and your praise? But just in closing, Lord willing, we'll continue in this very subject. In the next broadcast, we will take up the aspect of being royal priest of God. And then we want to talk about the clothing of the priest, the clothing of the great high priest, the clothing of Aaron, and the clothing of the priest today. But I just want to mention that if there is a listener to the broadcast today, and you're unsaved, you're out of Christ, maybe you're religious, maybe you're a church member, but friend of mine, if you're not saved, you cannot offer acceptable worship and praise to the Lord Jesus, because it must come through a priest. Do you want to be a priest? Then you have to come with all your guilt and sin, and first of all, become his child, his son, through acknowledging your guilt and saying, Lord, what you say about me is true. I'm a sinner. I'll take Christ as Savior. He says, I'll give you then my gift of eternal life. Do it today. Amen.